Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you for your ancient and yet ever living word, and we pray that as we come to read it this morning and consider its truths, that you would meet with us and strengthen us in your service. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, any reflection on life makes clear that there are a variety of experiences, and that is certainly true for Christians. There are occasions when we're full of praise to God and thrilled with the way that God has shown us his goodness. And other times we wrestle with perplexing questions. We need direction. We find living in this world tough, and we need reassurance. There are times when we are full of rejoicing. There are also periods when we're very aware of our failures and times when we struggle with depression. Now, all these sorts of experiences and more, God's people today share with the writers of the Old Testament Psalms. The Psalms have always been a favourite part of the Bible for many believers. 150 poems and hymns written down roughly 3,000 years ago, which powerfully engage with real lives lived in a broken world, and yet a world where God is still present. Well, over the next few weeks, we plan here at All Saints to consider some Psalms, and I trust that we shall see that, as it has been well said, the Psalms speak for us. They express our deep thoughts and concerns. And so the Psalms are a great help to pray. The Psalms speak for us, but also the Psalms speak to us as we meet God in his word, an experience that so often itself then provokes and enriches our prayers. Well, this morning our focus is on Psalm 103. So do turn to page 602 if you've got a Bible in front of you, page 602, Psalm 103. And as we do so, we find great King David's God-centered prayer of praise. And he begins, verse 1, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul." David speaks to himself, to his own soul, to encourage himself to bless the Lord, to praise God, and personally rejoice in God's greatness and goodness, to give God himself joy by finding joy in God. Now, we shall find this interesting spiritual discipline of preaching to yourself described again in the Psalms. But David's example here reminds us of the need to have what you might call an inward dialogue with yourself, to speak to ourselves about God, to rouse ourselves, to shake off apathy or discouragement, to use our minds and our memories to get our focus clear. David says, verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." As we read the psalm, we find that David tells himself not to forget the great truths about God. And so we see, firstly, that what we find here is a reminder to remember what God is like. Remember what he is like. Now, as David reminds himself of the God he belongs to, he calls to mind realities of God's character that he has understood from what would have been his Bible. That is the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. So verse 7 says, "He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel." And then in verse 8, David quotes to himself the phrase that God spoke to Moses when making himself known many years before in the book of Exodus. "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love." Now here, illustrated for us, is a good example of what you might call distinctive Christian meditation. So often meditation evokes mystical characters encouraging people to empty their minds and look within for some kind of inner light. But Christian meditation begins with God's truth, with God's word, then mulls it over, reflects on it, as it were, chews the cud of God's truth. And as David speaks to himself to praise God afresh and to think clearly, he dwells on the grace of God. How vital that we speak to ourselves about this. It's so easy to think that we must somehow make ourselves worthy of God's attention. But as we saw last week with Jesus' parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, our only hope is that God is gracious, that he is generous towards those who don't deserve it. After all, as David says in verse 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. God is the king. He is the perfect ruler whose name, the essence of who he is verse 2, holy. So broken, weak, and sinful people like us deserve nothing from such a God. And yet, verse 8, he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God, despite human sinfulness, finds a way to restrain his legitimate anger. And so he is patient with people, verse 9. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. God, in his holiness and love, his steadfast, enduring covenant faithfulness, finds a way to offer undeserved favour to the unworthy. Now David uses an evocative image to help us to dwell on this reality. Verse 11, he says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him." For those who come to him and fear him, that is, revere him, recognizing who he is, God's love is vast. So vast that it is like the distance between the surface of the earth, where we walk, and the heavens, that is, the skies, space, with its stars and planets. I understand that the nearest star to earth after the sun is Proxima Centauri. Now, this is a huge distance from the Earth. NASA's new spacecraft, the Horizons, New Horizons, travels at about 40,000 miles per hour. That's the fastest spacecraft that has ever traveled in the solar system. Now, traveling at that speed, 40,000 miles an hour, in order to get to Proxima Centauri, would take New Horizons 78,000 years. Now the point is, the heavens are an enormous distance above the earth. David reminds himself and us, so great is God's steadfast love towards those who revere him. The greatness of the eternal God is David's focus as he dwells on who God is. His steadfast love. But in order to grasp that, we also have to contrast it with us human beings. David uses words that have become part of the funeral service, verse 15. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. See, we human beings and our life on earth may be transient, yet God's gracious love is eternal, from everlasting to everlasting. So we need to remind ourselves of what God is like, to dwell on the truths of his character. And it is because of what God is like that we also need to remind ourselves of what God has done. Now, David's sermon to his own soul begins by recalling the good things that God has made possible for him. Verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Now, for God's people, our sins, our iniquity, the guilt that we have because we've turned away from God is forgiven. The legal liability before God is removed. All our sins are cancelled out. Now, Hebrew poetry often uses couplets, parallels, restating a truth in a slightly different way. And so David, having proclaimed to himself that God forgives all your iniquity, adds verse 3, who heals all your diseases. The two are connected. Sin not only deserves punishment, which we are spared when God forgives, but sin also has consequences, bringing damage, disrupting wholeness. Well, through God's grace, even the negative effects of sin can be slowly and gradually changed as God works by his Spirit in our lives. Well, David also reminds his own soul that the Lord God redeems your life from the pit and satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So you see, for the believer, we can reassure ourselves that there is rescue from the pit, that is the grave, and that confidence in a bright future can infuse life now. So even as we grow older, God can give us a positive perspective which strengthens us and renews us. Now, as we read of what good things there are in belonging to God, as we rehearse the benefits there are in him as Christians, we see how these things find a new reality and are fulfilled through Jesus. One of the key things we shall find as we spend time in the Psalms is that the book of Psalms is really Jesus's book. They are words that Jesus knew, words that Jesus himself prayed, and they are words which point to him and are so often fulfilled through him. And how much is that the case with what we have before us? So forgiveness of sins from a holy God is only possible because Jesus became himself the sacrifice who paid the price that we deserved. David tells himself to rejoice in God who, verse 3, forgives all your iniquities. He is the one who, verse 10, does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. You see, only through Jesus and his blood shed on the cross, as we heard himself say in that gospel reading, there is forgiveness of sins. Only in him is there justification, God's declaration of our cleanness before him and of Jesus' righteousness credited to our account. Only in Jesus can, verse 12, be our experience. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. When we turn back to Jesus and ask for God's undeserved grace through the cross, well then our transgressions, our sinful law breaking, can be removed from us. Our sins can be moved as far as the east is from the west. Now, however we define the west, it can never be the same place as the east. So through Christ's death, the liability of our sins is taken away. Our sins are taken to an infinite distance away from God. So God does not look at us in connection with our sin, but rather with connection to Jesus in his perfection. And it is only through Jesus that we can look to the future with positive anticipation. It is because Jesus was rescued from the pit of death in his resurrection that those who are in him can look forward to the same experience. Well, these wonderful words in Psalm 103 invite us to remember what God is like and what God has done. to encourage our own souls to join heaven and all creation in rejoicing in such a great God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we pray that you would help us, as it were, to speak them to ourselves. Help us to stand fast in what you have made known to us through your Son, that you are gracious and that you offer forgiveness and ongoing transformation and indeed great anticipation for the future. Strengthen these things in us, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.